This is RSVNB Update, episode 489, recorded Friday, October 31st, 2014. Starving bots in Africa. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSPB Update. This week, it is Bonus XP Weekend.
Woo!
If you guys are listening to us while we're doing this, welcome to you. This is something that we don't normally do all that often, so this is indeed a special occasion, seeing as after this, we're immediately going to go hiding on RS, and some lucky, fortunate soul is going to find us and get something good. So let's begin. This week we got actual RS updates to discuss, a quest, and because it's a quest, guess who is joining us?
And I don't know.
I don't know, and your name is? Oh, he forgot his name. It's Earth.
I forgot. I'm nervous.
He forgot his name. Well, that's Earth. One of the members of Clan Quest, RSBNB informer, and perhaps most importantly, community ambassador program. So, Broken Home, this quest. You and I both did this quest. It's classed as a novice quest. It's designed to be a Halloween horror type quest. And what did you think of this?
It was interesting.
Okay.
To say the least.
Did it have you jumping out of your seat?
No.
Okay, because when we saw the behind-the-scenes video for this quest, Jagex had clearly stated that this horror quest is going to have people jumping out of their seats, and it had J-Mods jumping out of their seats with the loud screams and the ghostly images and whatnot.
Bunch of pussies, probably.
Yeah, so you didn't get scared?
I mean, there was just a bullshit whenever the big thing came out and killed me.
Oh, but you died.
Yeah, because the big blob thing.
Okay.
Well, I don't even know what to call that.
Well, it was just a monster, really. But we'll get to what
I don't like that description. But okay, fine, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay, so basically the idea behind this quest is it's a haunted house near the old man's quarry heading up to the church. What's that church called on the thing that overlooks?
Paterdomus.
Yes, Paterdomus, thank you. And once you get there, you discover that, oh, this house is haunted, and we need to find a way to make it non-haunted and exorcise the ghost from it. And that is what this quest is all about. It's about a puzzle, moving your way through this house, the haunted house that actually ends up turning out like a maze, and putting together these spells to exorcise the ghost from the house. And throughout it, you do discover that the fact there are three spirits in the house currently. Do you want to get into the spirits now, or do you want to talk a bit about the mechanics?
I mean, were the spirits just the creepy little girl?
Yeah.
And then
the brother.
The old dude, and then the creepy child.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, I call them spirits because that's what they are. I mean, you could call them ghosts, or you could call them manifestations from another life. But
don't do any of those.
Yeah, so spirits is a good way to go in that regard. And you know, I think what they were trying to accomplish with this quest is to use the environment to, you know, simulate a feeling of horror and, you know, despair. But I don't think they succeeded.
And I'm just linking in the chat. You can look at I took a bunch of screenshots when I was going through the quest.
Let's call it a tweet through.
Really? That's what you're going to call it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if I like that.
Well, it's like a walkthrough, but it's with tweets. So tweet through, I think. That makes sense. But
whatever.
We saw some, you know, initial quests that deal with environment and, you know, showing you the way to go with the Ashdale quest and, you know, really highlighting the use of environment in that quest. But the thing is, that quest actually relied on environment entirely, and the environment effects in that quest were good. And I don't think that kind of environmental finesse, let's say, was used in Broken Home the way it could have been to, you know, generate a more spooky experience. Because I don't know who is supposed to be scared of this quest, but, I mean, unless you had your
I saw parts where people would probably jump, but if you've played through a game like Half-Life 2, you know when the thing's gonna be in the corner and try to scare the bejesus out of you.
Yeah, and, you know, you basically say that this is nothing compared to what was at Ravenholm at midnight with the lights off.
Oh yeah, first time going through Ravenholm. Let's play that at 1 in the morning with no lights on. That was fun.
Okay, so overall, the quest, I think we both feel that it, you know, didn't deliver in the regards of being a scary quest.
I mean, it's just the kind of boo. Ah. Okay.
So,
scare you quest, not frighten you on a psychological level.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I was thinking we were going to be in for on this. But I,
really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's kind of what it was marketed as, and I didn't think you'd have J-Mods jumping out of their seat if it wasn't like that. But anyways, fits within the theme, I guess, of the time of the month, and the time of the year, for that matter. So we'll give it that. And the puzzle, I think the puzzle was fairly well done.
Which puzzle was that?
Just the maze of rooms and whatnot.
Well, if you use the term well done in a very loose sense of the word, because, I mean, the first 10-15 minutes is like, yeah, this is cool, but then about an hour and a half in, it's just like,
yeah, that's exactly what I felt as well. I mean, it's good to begin with, and at the end it just didn't change in that regard. So
it starts out strong, but it just didn't finish very well, if you will.
Exactly. And as Colton says in chat right now, would you have preferred they prey on your deepest fears? And I guess that's kind of what I was hoping for. But how do you do that in RS, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that very easily.
And
plus,
maybe,
I don't really think that's something that would be suited towards the demographic.
Well, let's remember the demographic now is 20 plus.
That's not what I mean.
Oh, what do you mean then?
RuneScape, you sit down and lay back and click.
Ah, gotcha. And
but then games like Half-Life 2, you're sitting up and you're alert.
Right, true. Okay. Totally understood with that. And, you know, I mean, if you had your speakers loud enough and there was a scream, then I guess that would make you jump.
God damn, the screams were so annoying.
I was watching Twitter the day this was released, and somebody said they blew their speakers on one of the screams.
It's their fault for having them up that loud, I guess, but those were really loud.
Okay, so I guess I kind of came into the show as thinking, you know, maybe that we could have expected a bit more from this quest, but from what you're saying and what everyone else is saying, it seems like this is run-of-the-mill and, my expectations were maybe a bit too high for a RuneScape horror.
Well, it's like, and Colton said that this screams made him take out his headphones, and it's like, I agree, I just clicked on her hoping, oh god, will she shut up? And then she just died once I got the key, and I was like, alright, good, she's quiet now. So everything turned out alright.
Okay. Now.
You miss... The Pyro asks in chat, I played with no sound, I take it I didn't miss anything. Possibly some hearing damage, but...
Yeah.
I mean, the music wasn't bad.
Yeah, the music, I think, was what we've come to expect in the last year with RS music.
I would always have sounds on, or at very least the music when doing a quest.
Yes. Completely agree. Completely agree with that. So, this quest is replayable.
God.
I did not go for a second playthrough, and this goes back to mainly what we said in that.
I'll probably do that in a couple months.
Okay. That the quest starts out fine, and you make your way through it, but as you're doing it, it just becomes, you know, too one-dimensional. And after that, I really didn't want to do another playthrough, this week at least. So I think it's a nice mechanic that we can finally do that with these kind of things. But, I mean, rewards, yes. But are we going to uncover something else? I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, what are all of the rewards?
I can tell you about that. And, like, the rewards aren't anything, you know, that's going to make or break your game. They're all basically XP-based rewards to some degree, and, you know, a title, perhaps, or something like that. So it's nothing like, oh, we're going to unlock a new spell, we're going to unlock a new teleport kind of thing.
Colton says that we can upgrade the ring to a level 85 hybrid ring when you do the quest in 37 minutes or less. And what does that give you? What are the bonuses on that?
Are we asking him?
Assuming,
or me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, 10% chance to prevent adrenaline loss when using thresholds, and 40% chance of saving a quarter special attack original cost.
Oh, that's not bad, actually.
And it's a level 85 ring, so it's decent, I guess.
Decent.
Yeah, personally, though, I'd prefer the Leviathan ring from the ports.
The what?
The Leviathan ring from the ports.
Leviathan.
Same thing, same thing.
No.
Yes. Anyways. Yeah, I think I'd take that ring, and, you know, that's why I never really looked at this ring as being a serious reward in this quest. But apparently at the final playthrough of this, you can get 96,000 XP at tier 9 in one of the laps.
So it gives plus 23 bonus to strength, mage, and range. And it doesn't give any armor, Colton?
No.
Okay, so that's the 6-stage circuit, which I guess is comparable to it, gives an armor bonus of 12 and a strength, ranged, and mage bonus of 21. Mm-hmm. So it's a tiny bit better.
Plus, you also get the adrenaline stuff on this one, so...
Yeah. And I haven't the slightest idea how those bonuses work anymore, so...
We're not
sure
either.
Two is significant. It was back in the day with the strength bonuses, right?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be significant here, but I don't know. We tried to inquire about that, but our inquiry went on deaf ears for the explanation of the combat system rework as of this July.
Yay.
You can also get a ghost pet.
Maybe they were playing the quest too much, and that's why they were deaf.
Oh. But you get a ghost pet if you don't use any food on the replay. And a large lamp if you don't die.
Oh boy. That must be really irritating with the...
With the...
Okay, so who in the chat has played this quest?
One, two.
All right, I want some names for that thing, the big blob thing.
Okay, let's talk about this. So near the end of the quest, I want to say the last quarter of the quest, you uncover this big blob thing. We got three people who've done the quest, and if you run into this blob, you got to keep running down the hallway so it doesn't catch you. The only refuge of it is deep in the basement or up top, and if it touches you, you die. Okay, so let's have some names for this big blob thing.
Colton says that it's like Jabba the Hutt. And Shane, don't read the second part of that if you want to keep this PG.
All right.
Rosie O'Donnell. Any other names? No? Sanders. Okay, it's Sanders. Okay. So nobody's really come up with a great name. It's just a big blob thing. I think Jabba the Hutt is a pretty good way of describing it.
Except
with like mouth things everywhere.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It's a very spooky little monster.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
And it is actually a denizen from Centistan.
Yeah.
I found that part interesting. I think, to me, that was the most interesting part of the quest. Because Centistan, ancient and whatnot.
That's the Dick site, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, did you notice the little Zaro symbol in one of the rooms?
No.
Yeah, I was one of those.
By that point, I was probably really irritated. So, I was definitely really irritated.
Okay. And I just want to say out there that this is a quest that everybody can do. It's a novice level quest. It's probably a quest that you best save for doing on a day where you're not frustrated. And take it for what it is. And, you know, maybe turn the lights down and turn the sound up. And I don't know. Try and make it a little bit scary. Anything else about the story
sound down.
Yes. Anything else about the story before we talk about the actual rewards?
There's a story?
Okay. Yeah, fair.
That's pretty much... It's very, very generic.
All right.
It's just a thing that was scary. And crash, shatter, shatter, scream. Yeah, that pretty much describes this quest.
Yeah, especially with the broken glass and whatnot that you have to run over.
God, that was annoying.
Yep.
You know, if you walk over it, you don't take any damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Rewards for this quest, one quest point, small lab, pull away a moat, the ring, the lower level version of it, the ability to replay, and of course the normal treasure hunter stuff that you get, plus the early bird bonus that was a large prismatic lamp and a prismatic fallen star.
Oh, hot damn.
15% discount on large lamps from the Halloween event, and boosted damage against the ghost in the Halloween event as well.
Yeah, still need to do the Halloween event.
Well, we are doing that after Hide and Seek tonight. So, Liz, you guys want to stick around and need some points, we'll just head on to Death's House. I've got lots of demonic ghosts that I've been saving up that I'll crack open and let you guys vanquish for me. And then you guys will be doing my work and cleaning up the room after the show.
Ah, so Shane has an ulterior motive here.
Yes.
Typical Shane.
All right, so that's the broken home. It's also worth noting that a broken home is a quest that is to do with parents who are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I figured that, you know, since this is mainly, or this is the main part of the update this week, rather, we're going to talk about the poll that came out, the reaction survey about this quest, and...
That came out already?
Yes.
It's a bit soon.
I agree, totally. And
Check X.
29% enjoyed it, 14% said okay, 10% didn't like it, 34% want to play it but haven't, 2% want to play it but can't, and 9% don't want to play it.
It was okay.
I said I didn't like it.
Yeah, I gave it a, in all seriousness, I gave it a, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. What was that one quest that, with Cthulhu in it?
That was the Ashdale quest.
The Ashdale quest, yeah.
Over Ashdale.
Yeah, that one did, it was a short quest, nothing really happened in it, but, it was exactly how they advertised it. It was just a trial, right?
Exactly. And I thought that quest was one of the best ones that they ever did. And I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
I gave it a 5 because all they did was implement the... Well, the reason I bring that up is they implemented the lighting design stuff in that one. They tried all that out just with subtle lighting. And I noticed that in this quest.
Yeah, and... Like I said, I remember when we started discussing the Ashdale quest, you did not think it was a good quest.
I gave it a 1?
Yeah, and I changed your mind through our discussion of it.
Yeah?
And I wish we would have saw more of that here. I really do. Like, we saw some of the lighting and whatnot, but I was hoping for more. Maybe I am just a little bit too high with my standards.
Eh.
Anyways, I gave it 3 as well. Anyways, the next poll we have this week is a diamond poll, I'm sorry, for the December seasonal high scores. And there's a whole bunch of absurd options for this. I mean, 10% deaths or damage mitigated, pardon me, 17% the most deaths. So whoever dies the most in December will rank higher. Whoever does the most clue scrolls, earns teleported, solo dungeon floors, and, of course, the option that's winning is I don't mind.
I voted for clue scrolls.
Okay.
Because that makes the most sense.
I voted for
earns, yeah, that would be a close second. Why?
I want to see how many people are going to, you know, just run and commit suicide and find interesting ways
to die. My KD!
There's no KD in RS.
That's what you think.
Yeah? But you said you're going for clue scrolls, yeah?
That's the one I voted for.
Yeah, that's second in 23%. I don't mind his winning, and I think that's mainly because... A good chunk of these options here really aren't that appealing.
And Colton brings up a good point. He says that it seems like with every poll, the whole of the community moves towards the I don't mind camp. So nobody really cares anymore.
Exactly. And that is how we got to this point with this year's Halloween event. Remember, it was supposed to be something silly with spiders and whatnot?
No.
Yeah, and then the polls change their mind, and, oh, we don't like that. It's time for something else. So, yes, you know, these are just to fill poll slots, and, you know, 3 days after a quest really isn't that ideal unless you want to get the keener's view on this thing, which are the people who would be voting in this. Anyways, nonetheless, that's all we got for polls this week. Moving on to the smaller and perhaps almost forgotten update. I know when I mentioned this to you said you didn't even recognize it was here.
And which update was that?
Exactly. The Guthixian caches, the divination, distraction, and diversion.
Oh, shit. That thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't I post the news post on that, too?
No, there was no news post posted this week.
What?
No.
Wait, what?
No.
They released the quest without a news post?
No, I mean there was no post posted on our forums.
Oh, shit. Oops.
We'll fix that later. Anyways, this is a divination D&D. It appears once every 3 hours for 10 minutes. Best way to find this is to head into your adventurer tab and click on the challenges sub tab. And then after that, it'll show you when it's next coming up. As with all the other DMDs, you get to see when they're coming up. And this is probably the most single useful tab in game.
The distraction and diversion tab?
Yeah, and the adventurer tab that shows the entire list of when you can start them. But anyways, have a look at that and you can begin. I would highly recommend finding a world that is populated for this. Because if you're on your own world, you're going to be soloing this thing. And that's really not ideal for this distraction and diversion. You do want a couple of people there. I did it with two and got almost 100 points. So a couple more and you'd be golden. But basically the way this works is that when this comes around on the top of the hour, every 3 hours, you will jump into the crater and then you'll end up in this room where you're sitting with automatons and somebody needs to transform into one of them and disable all the other automatons. And then after that, you just grab the various memory fragments that are sitting on the wall and dump them into the crater. And there are divination level requirements to disable them. Level 1 for the ancients, level 45 for the confused automatons, and level 85 divination for the large automatons. And when you dump them in, you get a certain amount of points, and you also get points for disabling the automatons. And that is the whole goal of this distraction and diversion. I will say this is something that if you're actively training divination, you do want to do, because at level 96 divination, I got 56,000 XP in a matter of about 10 minutes. So it is worth
doing. So that's like 3 hours work, right?
No, not really that much, but it's a nice boost to the experience.
It's a nice change from just divination span.
Pretty much. And I like what you did there. Divination
Thank
span.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to need to get 90 divination, you know, for the ports update coming out next year.
What?
Yep.
Why?
That's one of the skills that was chosen.
Who did that?
The players.
Who elected them?
Well, we did.
I didn't vote for them.
Well, we voted for farming, but nonetheless, that didn't happen. Aside that, so definitely a good time to start divination training if you're into the whole ports thing. So this would probably help you out a bit. And, you know, I can't help but think that this is something that has rewards that seem an awful lot like familiarization, except this is much more accessible in that you can do it once a day. So, I don't know. I mean, this is something that was voted in as well by the players, and it's kind of unfortunate that it's only got the second half of this news posting here, because some of the rewards you can get are rather interesting. 10% chance for double loot from divine locations at no extra cost to gathering limit. 10% chance to save a charge from the sign of the porter. And 10% chance to convert all memories at once. Mm-hmm.
So how does that... How do those percentages work? What enables that? Do you get an item or something?
No, it's just a passive buff that you get for
up
to 20
minutes.
Familiarization. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
And Magic King says they work for like 13 minutes.
Yeah, depending on how well you do. So if you get 200 points, it'll work for 20 minutes.
Oh, so you clearly just need to do better.
Yes. And I think mine lasted for around that same time too. So, I mean, it's not something that you want to do on your own. And like I said, if you do your training on a specific world, then you should probably find the world for this. I don't know what the world is, because I searched the forums. There was nothing about it. There was only one person talking about it. So I don't even know if the RS population knows that this update came out this week. Yeah.
Jagex.
Yeah. Anyways, so I don't know. I'm not really happy about this, but it's an update. So now I think I'd like to just ask the people here who are listening to us on the spot if there's anybody who'd like to jump in on audio pertaining to the quest or the divination update. If you do, just type something in chat and we'll get to you. But in the meantime, a good way of training divination, I guess. A little bit extra boost, but not too special. All right, doesn't look like we have anybody who is raising
their hand. No takers, really?
To come in. So, in that note, I'll just remind everybody who's listening at the moment to start thinking of questions if you have any, and we can take some of those in the question segment as well. And if not, then that's fine. That just means we can start hide and seek, or give us a bit of a break between hide and seek.
Woo!
All right. So moving on from that, the tweaks and fixes for this week, I pulled out a number of interesting things, such as lighting a fire by the shanty pass will no longer burn down shanty's tent.
What? I'm curious to see what that actually did.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not going to burn it down, but I guess maybe the fire would go inside the tent and it would look like it was on fire and you wouldn't be able to access it. So definitely an interesting little problem there graphically that's been fixed.
Fire was really high, apparently.
I see. That's,
so I guess like it's normally near the ground, but it was like going through the ceiling or something.
So we had to pretty much then call the Alcarat Fire Department, right?
No, they're a bunch of libertarians.
What?
Haven't you heard that joke about libertarians and fire departments?
No.
No, they don't like the government doing anything, but then their house catches on fire, so they need the fire department.
Oh, just, okay.
It's a joke.
Right, I think I was
See, even Sanders got that joke, Shane.
For that kind of fire department once upon a time. But I get it now. Okay. it's now possible to store essence in abyssal familiars correctly.
As opposed to incorrectly?
Yeah, because, you know, the summoning update last month, there's now an option to directly withdraw from the bank into your beast of burden.
Uh-huh.
That did not work with abyssal familiars.
Oh, so it just didn't work.
Yes.
Okay. So when you say correctly, make it sound like something weird happened.
No, and I mean, this was so all hard. Right. Because for a while I was crafting mud runes, and I was using an abyssal titan for that. And, you know, because I had to close the bank and whatnot. It was really a pain to open the bank and deposit into the Titan like that. So I'm very happy that this was fixed.
Man, you live a rough life.
Yeah, it's what happens when you have runecrafting done in the RuneSpan nowadays.
Yeah, I'll save that for later.
Okie doke. Werewolves in Caniphus no longer drop War Priest of Zamorak armor.
What? Someone really, really f***ed there.
Yeah, it sounds like the War Priest armor was being dropped because it drops it at God Wars, but they were the same werewolf NPC in both places, so it was just dropping in both places.
Oh,
there.
It... Oh, it can be dropped by any of the monsters
in the Zamorak God Wars area. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that makes sense. So they're just lazy.
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems that way.
Okay.
Apparently, Rickle said that the Iron Man accounts were abusing it to get awesome armor for nothing.
Right, Shane?
Yeah, yeah.
Very okay. Bad.
Very bad, very bad. The left-click option on Dungeoneering Gatestones is now drop.
Oh, boy.
I know Dungeoneers are happy about that, so I will go along with that update and just nod a little bit, because I'm not that much of a
Dungeoneering whole second.
Person. Yeah. It really makes a difference in clearing those large C6s at level 120, I bet. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
It's a little quality of life thing that if you were a fan of Dungeoneering, you would be jumping off the wall about. But
if you say so.
Anything in the patch notes jump out at you? Or make you jump off the wall?
The text is sitting on the page, so no. A prayer bonus of 2 has been added to the Virtus wand, so panic sell wands, right?
I gotta say, good, with that thing being so expensive and, you know, such a high level thing and related to Nex, you might as well give it a slight prayer bonus.
A sell all option has been added to in-game shops. I like that. That's good.
What do we sell to shops?
What don't you sell to shops?
Nothing. I grand exchange it or drop it on the floor.
You drop things?
Yes.
You've wasted so much money.
I drop my
I bet
iron...
you don't bury bones either.
Not anymore, no.
Oh, you have 99 now, though, right?
And I also have a bone crusher.
Okay.
But, like, if I'm going to the monkeys on Ape Atoll to thieve, I will drop the knives they give me after that. I will drop the adamant and mithril scimitars. There's 3,500 of them. I am not elking 3,500 iron knives.
Oh, they're stackable?
Yes.
Just sell them. You're doing.
It's like 3.5K.
That's 3.5K more than you had before.
I can make that in
the
like...
poor people would love to have that 3.5K, and you just throw it out.
Okay, I'll keep them and I'll put them into...
There are starving bots in Africa.
Oh, my. I don't know if that was meant to be a little transition or not, but it's time to talk about charities and the Well of Goodwill. Did you intend that?
I did not.
I think you might owe these people an apology. But anyways,
why?
The Well of Goodwill will be opened as of November 1st.
Funny.
Yeah, I found it funny too. But at least we're not talking about Feed the Children charities this time around. So let's just say that if you donate to the Well of Goodwill, there's two new titles this time around, The Millionaire and The Billionaire, if you want to give that much.
Wow, original.
Mm-hmm. And this year...
Stretching your creative skills.
Sorry?
They are stretching their creative skills.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. This year, they're digging deeper. $1 for every 5 million coins given. And as before, we'll donate $4.70 for every bond that you throw in.
What was it last year?
I think it was a little bit less for the amount of coins. I don't remember exactly. And I think the bond was relatively the same.
It was $1 per 10 mil, so they're doubling it. Okay.
Oh, good.
That's cool.
Very nice. I love that. I love this part of RS, specifically the Well of Goodwill, not only for what it does for the economy, but just the fact, you know, I think that as a whole, Jagex really does understand what's going on here with, you know, charities and whatnot, and that gaming is not just about clicking buttons and seeing fancy things appear on the screen. As we saw earlier this year in February with the special effect Double XP Weekend and the 24-hour streamathon that they had at Jagex, which did get the Twitch stream flagged for inappropriate content.
Okay, more on that later.
If anybody wants to know, we'll talk about that in chat. But this year's three charities are Able Gamers, which empowers children, adults, and veterans with disabilities to achieve a greater quality of life through the power of video games. Anything on that one?
I mean, yay.
Okay. And we got Donate Games.
I applaud Jagex for that.
Donate Games, a charitable organization that leverages video games, technology, and innovation to help children and families suffering from cancer. That one's nice, I think.
Say that with such a cheery voice.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the fact that there's something about gaming dedicated to this, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I like that one the best so far, I think. And then we got Young Minds. It's a charity committed to improving the mental health and emotional well-being of children and young people.
Good for Jagex.
Yes, and, you know, I think this is one of the things that Jagex has done really well, despite any criticisms you might have of their actions as a company. And, you know, I do probably applaud ModMMG, the outgoing CEO, for this, as I suspect an initiative for this would probably come from the top. So,
yeah. Very also good just goes to show people who think Jagex is not doing well as a company. Company that's not doing well would not be doing something like this either.
Yeah, because remember, we're giving them digital items in game aside from the bonds, but
and they're giving
everything
real money.
Yeah, they're giving real money that we give them. So this is quite the amount for them, and even doubling it. And they want to see if we can pass the record, because last time $90,000 was raised, and they want to try and beat that this time. So I am fairly confident that that will indeed happen. So please do go give to the Well of Goodwill. And you need to donate 100 million coins to get the millionaire title, and 5 billion coins to get the billionaire. I don't have 5 billion to give. I'm sorry.
I don't have 100 million to give.
Neither do I. Oh, and also, we should mention that there will be charity tunics available from Solomon's General Store throughout November. So there's another way to give as well.
Woo!
Alrighty.
Speaking of wealth, beat you to that. Permanently unlock your wealth evaluator. So, how much does that cost?
Too much. Oh. Too much.
I don't know. That's what, like 20 minutes of faking survey answers?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never done that, so I can't exactly say how much it would be. But 533 rune coins for non-members, 480 for members, or 3 bonds for the permanent unlock. Or you can unlock for half a year for 320 rune coins, if you're a member.
Hooray!
You know, I don't know specifically that we need a wealth evaluator, but I guess it's a nice way to sum up your bank without, you know, withdrawing everything and running a tab.
I mean, I liked it. It was very convenient.
Yeah, I rented one for 2 weeks, and it said I was worth over $1.1 billion. But that was before it didn't include tradable items.
Yeah. So, that was weird.
I kind of want one, but I don't really see the point, if you know what I mean.
I'll probably do it at some point.
Yeah, I still have around 650 rune coins left from last year's Premier Club.
Yeah. All right, you bought into that thing.
Yeah, I never used them.
Still and it's don't also, know why you did that.
Well, I mean, it was for the free rune coins and extra spin per day, really.
Loser.
But you cannot use loyalty points this time. Unfortunately.
How many do I have? Let's see.
You can just log into
loyalty.
The lobby.
Loyalty.
And then clicky the...
I have 632,875 loyalty points.
Yeah, that's good. Might as well use them.
I guess.
Alrighty, and of course we got the behind the scenes for November, seeing as November starts tomorrow, as today is Halloween. Two highlighting updates. Part two of Priftina's.
That damn time.
I think this is going to be my favorite part. Because it's got the herb lore and all that other good stuff to it. Agility.
Herb lore.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
We're also having a treasure trail rework to the way the items you use to find your treasure trails. And the first Elder Gods quest, a novice short quest about the Elder Gods. It's going to require a grand total of 25 runecrafting, 35 magic, and the completion of Carnelian Rising and the Rune Memories quest.
Shit.
What?
I don't have any of that.
Oh, no. Are you an Iron Man account?
Am I what?
You an Iron Man account?
Iron?
Yes.
You Canadians astound me with your pronunciation.
Well, I'll just continue to say herb lore and whatnot, and then just
continue
that's the way
to
it
be
is.
Wrong.
Alrighty, well, that's it for RS updates this week, everyone. We're going to move straight on to questions, as we got about 35 minutes left to go on the show. Okay.
Wow. Is this ahead of time?
Yes, we are. We are.
Woo!
So as we're beginning
no
questions...
No three-hour shows this week, guys.
Nope. Those are long in the past. As we're beginning questions right now, I'd invite our listeners in chat. If you have any questions, start thinking of them, as we only have one text question this week. If you want to ask, just make a note, and we will get to you in the order that you send me a little poke in chat.
Poke.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Do you want to read this question, or shall I?
I guess I will. If I have to. Alright, so we have one question this week from Pernasius. Hi guys, a quick question for you this week, as I know you will be busy with the live show. I recently died with my first hardcore Iron Man account, which locked the account out forever. I am fine with that, although I do wish the name would be able to be used again, but I do understand that may be difficult. However, what I did not realize was that it also locked out the email address you made the account on. Do you think this is an oversight on Jagex's part, or is it something we'll have to contend with? I would hate to have to make a new email account every time I died on an Iron Man account. While I don't intend to die, mishaps do happen, and I'd like the option to restart without having to create an entirely new email account. Hopefully the live show goes well, and happy RuneScaping to all.
I completely agree with this. I mean, this, in my view, is a case for having one RuneScape account tied to your email address with numerous characters on that account, whether they be Iron Man, Standard, you name it. It should be one email address per person to access all your accounts. That really should have happened when Iron Man appeared. Because
or when they just changed over to email.
Yeah, yeah.
That was when? Like 2007?
10.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
was a while ago. And
how difficult would that be to implement?
Well, it would depend on how the account system is set up. If the
it'd probably be really, really difficult.
Yeah, because the way I think of it right now is that to set up the RS account database, you have a single database for all the accounts. And in this database, you have rows for each account, which are now can be associated with email addresses and are email addresses if it's a new account. So these rows would be per person, and to change that, that would be really hard because you would need to take the database structure up one more level to have a general account that manages all these sub-accounts per user, and with over 200 million user accounts, that is something that would be very painful to implement in a secure, safe, and quick manner.
All right, so for all of you people who stopped listening to all of that, yes, it would be very difficult to do. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and it really is a database issue. And when you're dealing with that much data, you do not want to be messing around with that.
Take it from Shane. He deleted summoning and he deleted summoning from the RSBNB high scores for a short period of time.
That was a total accident.
Obviously, Mike had to Shane-proof everything.
Okay. All right. I see we have a couple of questions coming in from the chat, so that's good. Right now, though, I think I do want to say one more thing on Iron Man accounts that, you know, in addition to this, I think there are some other little things that, you know, could have been looked at.
Toadstones!
Okay, there's one. There's one. Another thing that you guys can read later in Jason's rundown of Iron Man mode is that if you're killing something and you don't get the drop, it appears for you, but you can't pick it up. That's kind of a bit weird, but you can read all that at informer.rsbnb.com in the rapid rundown Iron Man mode. So starting from the top, from Colton, when you hosties were youngins, what were your favorite Halloween costumes? Mine would have been go-to costume as a knight, which I used for 3 years straight.
I know what Shane's is.
All right, Fast Wesley just found a mic, so we'll answer Colton, then we'll move on to him. What was yours?
You first. I mean, right. Everyone already knows what it is, so we might as well get it out of the way.
Yeah. When I was younger, I did dress up as a couple of Star Trek characters along the way, so that was always fun to do. I was also a ghost once, which was relatively simple to do. So
I got a rock.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Just put a sheet over your head, poke some holes, and off you go.
Rickles in the chat says, Star Trek? No way! And mine, which will, I'm sure, be much to Shane's dismay, was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, that's nice. So,
right. Okay.
So we were kind of like mirror characters then.
No.
Oh, okay. And how old were you with this
one? I was like 6, so the new one, I guess. I mean, it was just generic. It was just the robe. It wasn't really any Jedi in particular. This Art of Dvorak loser guy has also come up with the question.
Now let's not call
he's
the
my
listeners.
Roommate.
Oh, okay.
He's my roommate, so I can do that. Don't really, Shane. You don't remember his username?
Oh, I know.
Play with him very frequently.
Yes. Alrighty. So here we are, Lord Fast Wesley. I am allowing you to ask your question right now.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead, sir.
So I've taken a long break from RuneScape since probably last Christmas. and I was just wondering, because it seems like I've missed a lot. What were like the 3 to 5 biggest things that I've missed?
Since last Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you take this one, Shane.
Yeah, Elf City, definitely. Elf City and the finishing of that storyline, number one. Number two, I want to say the combat rework as to, you know, just shaping up what we saw as EOC 2.0 this summer. And I don't know, can I say the removal of bots? If you said since last Christmas, were you around for that?
Yeah, I think I remember that vaguely.
Okay. Well, those would be my top three for this year, I think, that would have to have the biggest impact on the game for me personally. Maybe if we go back even further, just to say the addition of bonds, those have really changed the way we can do things as well.
I definitely remember those, yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's just go with the Elf City and the re-release of EOC 2.0 this past summer.
All right.
Anything else pertaining to that from our hosts or you, Lord Fast Wesley?
No, I don't think so. I think that's good.
All right. Well, thank you for asking, and we're glad that you decided to participate in a live RSVMB update.
Well, thank you.
Not a problem.
Woo!
Alrighty, next I believe we are going to Arty of Dvorak.
Art, Shane.
Alright, let's have your question, sir.
Hey.
Hello.
I just wanted to know, I have membership for a short period of time, and if I ever get it again, it'll also be for a short period of time, and so on and so on. If there were one skill other than farming that you would grind on, and not quests. Quests and farming are out of this because I've heard that. I've heard that before. What would be your favorite skill to grind on while trying to soak up all the membership you could?
Do you want the skill to benefit you in free to play?
That would definitely get some kudos, but, I mean, definitely not necessary.
Well, I guess you can't use agility shortcuts in free-to-play, so that's out. I would actually say Slayer, because it's an entirely different way of doing combat, and the way of that we did combat before Slayer came around was a matter of just camping at one boss and sitting there until you got tired of it. Whereas with Slayer, you're actually given incentives to try out different things and whatnot. So I would say level up Slayer, see as high as you can get in that. It starts getting really good at around level 85 or so.
Earth?
Well, if you go with Slayer, then that'll definitely improve your combat skills, which will benefit you in free-to-play, because there aren't nearly as many ways that you can train those skills as well in free to play, so that would give you a boost of sorts. And I would also recommend Rickles in the chat said crafting, and that's, I think, can be a good money maker in free to play.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And plus, remember, free to play crafting severely limited. Green dragon hide only, and everything else below it, it's really hard to level up. So yeah, crafting would be good.
Oh, and rune crafting. Definitely. You need to do that while you have members.
Isn't rune spend free to play, though?
Is it?
I don't know. That should be something I do know. Is rune spend... Okay. Yes, Lord Fastball.
Oh, okay, it is. Never mind. My bad.
So, we're good then. Woo. All right, there you go. Two answers. Art of Dvorak. Thank you for contributing.
Woo!
All righty, moving on. Next question from The Pyro. He says, what TV shows or anime do you watch while grinding on our ass?
I don't watch anime.
Neither do I.
And TV shows? Usually I'll pop in an actual movie rather than a TV show, because if I'm watching a TV show, then I want to focus on the plot more.
True.
But I'll just pop in a movie. I think I haven't had to do any skill grinding since, what, 75?
Divination
span. I think I watched all of the Monty Python movies while I was doing that, but I can't even remember the last time before that I had to.
All right. You know, as for me, there's always old Star Trek episodes and whatnot on, so that really is what I end up watching most of the time while on RS. And let me just say that most of the other TV shows I watch are new, and, you know, they don't exactly, they aren't exactly available at this time of RSing to download and watch. So, I have made it a point to really not grind RS in that way for a long time, and that the way I train skills is not grind worthy anymore. So I used to do that, but not really anymore. And I think that finishes that one. But I guess if I was to give a name of a good one that I did with that, it would have to be Flashpoint. It's a good Canadian-made TV show. Went 5 seasons, and then they ended it. So.
And then they ended it.
Yep, but it ran its course and ended on a high note, just the way as a TV show should. All right. And that's it for questions. Thank you, everybody, for contributing the audio questionnaires and the text questionnaires from Mumble. This was very rewarding, and I hope it was rewarding for you guys as well. We'll have to do this again in the future at some point. But we're going to move on to tech news right now, starting with today, October 31st, is the last day that Windows 7 can be installed on an OEM computer.
So what does that mean?
This means that if you're the Dells or the Hewlett-Packards of the world, you can't sell Windows 7-based computers anymore. You got to go with Windows 8 and hope your users are going to like those. Because for the longest time, lots of people preferred Windows 7 on their computers, and Windows 8 still has a negative spot for many users. So this is the end of the line for purchasing Windows 7 in that way. But you still can purchase a retail copy of Windows 7 if you so choose to, if you're a system builder.
Have like 6 disks.
Yeah, I mean, it's something people who build computers, what they do. But, you know, I think Microsoft needs to advance, you know, the line of computers and whatnot through, you know, stopping the installs of Windows 7 like this. And I think Windows 8 is at a point where it can be usable on the desktop. And not really, you know, upset anyone to huge degrees.
Yeah. I think, and to Magic King, no, not XP. XP is for, it is a child's operating system.
It's for Steve Gibson.
It is a child's operating system. I don't care if he still uses it.
Oh,
it might be secure, but it looks ridiculous.
Lord Fast Wesley says OS X Master Race.
Well, he's wrong. So that's that.
Well, Windows 7 is slowly fading away. Our next piece of tech news pertains to YouTube. Everybody goes on YouTube, don't they? And YouTube has supported 1080p for a long, long time. And now it finally supports 60 FPS playback. True 1080p. They got a very nice video here of a Mario Kart 8 demo.
A what?
A Mario Kart 8 demo.
A what kart?
Mario Kart.
What is that?
It's a racing game for the Wii U.
Mario Kart. Mario Kart.
You know what I mean. But everybody have a look at this video and watch it in its full 60 FPS glory. It is really, really nice. And they do support uploads from users in this way. So if you're playing World of Tanks, for example,
don't play that shit game.
Capture all the glory of your Tiger or your M4 at 60 FPS and post it to YouTube. Well, now you can. I'm sorry, I just have to throw that.
I can upload my montage.
Yeah, the Call of Duty 360 no-scope montage.
Call of Duty 420 no-scope.
In 60 FPS. So definitely look for more of these videos coming around. And
but the eye can't see above 10.
Oh, it can. Anyway.
I know, it's a joke. I'm mocking all of them.
Right, right. Also, this only works in Google Chrome currently and Safari because of HTML5. So you do need to be using one of those browsers to take full advantage of this.
Why would you not be using Chrome? I think that would be the real question here.
Well, Internet Explorer 10 is a decent browser on Windows.
I thought it was up to 11 now, or 12.
Yes, 11. Sorry. You're right. So
yeah, anyway, I'd use that over Firefox.
Me too. Another video they have here is Donkey Kong. So lots of Nintendo ones, it seems. Donkey Kong at 60 FPS. Maybe I should make some Star Trek Online videos at 60 FPS.
Pew.
Yeah, that would work. Anyways, as we're running short on time, I'm just going to mention this last one in passing, but Samsung has suffered a 73.9% drop in their mobile profits over the last quarter, compared to Apple's iPhone sales increasing to the best they've ever been for any iPhone sales release. So it's worth saying that Samsung will probably be looking at restructuring their mobile market and seeing if they can start up their photocopiers once again. All right, well, now that we're moving on past tech news, the skill of the month is woodcutting. Currently, woo! Arrakis is still in first place with 19.4 million experience gained. He started off at 50,000 XP. So he has gained roughly 19.4 million XP this month. Before that, he only had 50,000 woodcutting experience. And in second place, we got Flash at 9.7 million experience gain. And third place, Parnassius at 6.4. And then in fourth, we have MageGuy08 at 4.2 million. And Tyler in fifth at 331,000.
Woo!
Yeah, this is astounding. All the congratulations out there to Arrakis, since I doubt Flash is going to get 10 million experience today. But we shall see. It's also worth noting that the skill of the month for November is fishing. So this is going to be another test of endurance for everybody out there. If you have not signed up, just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm. I'm mainly speaking to those of you guys in live chat currently, since this begins in about 3 hours, so keep that in mind if you're listening to this after the fact. Alrighty. So after that, I already highlighted our Informer article from Jason with a rapid rundown of Iron Man mode. So if you want to know all about Iron Man mode, you can give this a read at informer.rsbnb.com. And I believe there's also one coming out later today pertaining to user interfaces, which I believe Reed is reading currently, right?
Yes, of course. Well, of course, I'm paying full attention to the show, so I'm not doing that right now, but...
It'll be done before the day.
I will, while I'm waiting for all of you losers to find me in the hide-and-seek event. So...
All right. Well, all those can be found at informer.rsbnb.com.
Woo!
And I believe it's my turn to make a pick of the week, since this is something I've been...
It's not really your pick of the week, though, is it?
Yeah, it is, because I've had this on my list of pick of the week for about 2 months now.
So my roommate, who is Art of Dvorak, suggested an app for us to use as a pick, and Shane is taking that credit.
I've had it on my list for a long time.
I got your back, Andrew. I won't let him oppress you.
The pick is a website called If This Then That, found at ifttt.com. So basically you go to ifttt.com and then you can sign in with any number of accounts, create a profile, and then it's a way of linking APIs together. So for example, one of the ones that I like using is that if I save a story on Dig, it will automatically save it to my Pinboard
account. Why would you use something at Dig?
Well, there's lots of good stories on Dig, you know? So I like to save them to my Pinboard account for archiving. Another thing you could do is every time you dig something on Dig, you could have it tweeted out. Or if you upvote something on Reddit, you could do that. But I never go to that website. I'm just saying that this
is a... Yes, you do. You love Reddit.
This is a possible use case for the website. Other things are if you tweet something and it has a specific hashtag, you can have it, you know, stored on Pinboard or posted on a WordPress blog post. Or even if you use Tumblr, you can have these things posted to Tumblr. So there's a whole variety of ways you can do this, and they're called channels and recipes. So it's called If This Then That. There's an application for the iPhone, and they got tons and tons of services. So I would recommend that anybody who uses a number of online services and wants to tie them together, have a look at this. They even have one for iOS reminders. That's interesting.
Woo!
Pinboard, Pinterest, SMS. So anytime someone retweets you or something like that, if you wanted an SMS message, you could have an SMS from that. So there's a lot of interesting things you can do with this website. And, you know, thank you to Andrew for reminding me that I have this on my list, because we were looking for a pick of the week this week and none of the hosts here had one. And, you know, I said, I have one. And then, of course, Andrew also suggested If This Then That. So If This Then That is the pick of the week at ifttt.com. All righty. So as we're just wrapping this up gently, what have we been up to? You got 2 minutes to tell us what you've been up to on RS this week.
I have 2 whole minutes?
Yes.
Shit. What am I going to talk about? I don't know. Well, let's see. On RS, I did the annoying quest thing. And I've done ports, and for Double XP Weekends, I was doing thieving, but now I'm sitting here just XP waste. Watching Andrew do Slayer in case he dies, because he's a noob.
And you have to go bless him.
But yeah, that's it. How much time do I have left?
That's about it. You got about a minute.
Hot damn! What can I talk about for a whole minute, Shane?
I don't know.
Damn. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
All right. I guess I will let you say what you're doing.
All righty. Well, this week on RS, I've been doing the ports, trying to get the Seasinger set finished, but it's proving rather hard to get the Chi Globes for that. In addition to that, I got 95 Slayer from the Halloween event. That's how much XP you can get from that, folks. So definitely take part in the Halloween event that goes away on November 3rd. Passed 47 million farming experience. And that's about it, RS-wise. Did some runecrafting to make some money, but still the best money is combat, unfortunately. And that's it for what I've been up to on RS this week. So that wraps up this episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you everybody so much for joining us in Bumble for this live recording. And to those of you guys out there listening, if you liked what you heard and you want this automatically delivered to you in iTunes, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com and you can find the subscribe in iTunes button. And we look forward to hearing your questions on the show next week. So with that being said, it's been RSBNB Update with Shane 12088 and
Earth.
And we will see you all next week. Good night,
everyone. Bye.